But it is interesting. I go, for example, I'm in Peckham. I live near Peckham, and I've been going for the last year or two to the Peckham Bussey Building, where the Royal Court had residency. And, of course, there are a lot of plays there by black writers, and National Theatre of Scotland came down there. What's been noticeable to me is that audiences do tend to get a bit segregated. So black audiences come to the black writers, and East Dyche and Herne Hill people come to the plays by the white writers. And what is exciting, of course, is if you can get the mixture going. And I don't think it's quite happened at the Bussey Building, which I think is a fantastic place.
We focus our work out of London. If we, you know, sometimes we do work in London, and that's that can be exciting. But our raison d'être is to get around the country. What's so exciting about touring work is that you've got a diverse audience night by night, because you're going to a different part of the country. So we've been really energised by trying to work out why one of our productions might go really, really well in Liverpool and not go well at all in Glasgow, or, you know, that kind of audience reaction can be different week on week or night by night. And there's something that keeps the work very alive and on its toes about playing in front in different spaces for different audiences, different demographics in different parts of the country,
yes,
completely
sure,
different,
sure,
bringing completely different experiences into the
yes
theatre. And we rather like that rather than being based in one place where I think, you know, there is a danger that you only talk to a select group of people who become your audience.
Do you know, looking down this list, though, can I put a question to you? And that is that, do you think Payne's Plough have concentrated too much on white writers? Because they don't, in this particular little list, I can't see any black British or black Asian writers. Is that something that you've set your mind to at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've worked across the 4 years that we've been at the company, we work with about 120 writers. And actually, the list is very diverse, and
yes,
we're very proud of that.
Yes,
we're also with our partners historically, Channel 4, and now with Origin Pictures, continuing the work that the company's done brilliantly over the years of investing in young talent, and trying to bring writers through. Particularly, our focus actually is regionally.
Yes,
there is tremendous provision for young playwrights in London. But we're aware that if you live in Northumberland
or Leicester,
it can be very hard. You know, people might not have the money to commute to the London-based writers' group. So we see our role as a national touring company to work closely with our partners around the country, the artistic directors of theatres across the country, to identify young writers from Middlesbrough and Cornwall and the Lake District, and to try and offer them opportunities to develop their craft that they might not.
So what do you do? Do you hold workshops?
We do workshops all around the country, and we have a number of bursary attachment schemes that try and support writers from out of London. And a big part of that actually is just making sure that we take work to those places.
Yes.
If you're a young writer and you're not seeing new plays that inspire you, that you probably won't continue. So, of course, it's what we do anyway, but we feel like one of the best things we can continue to do for young writers is just make sure that there is a really great new play by a really great writer like Mike Bartlett coming to somewhere near them every year.
Yes. Tell me why you wanted to launch an app. What does an app do now, George?
Well, the app that we're going to launch is very specifically to do with a project called Come to Where I'm From that we initiated in 2010 that we've run for 5 years now. And that was a project whereby we would invite writers to write short plays, usually monologues, about the places that they grew up or at least in response to the title of Come to Where I'm From. So it might be a moment in time that they chose to write about, it might be a heritage, however they interpreted where they were from. And then those writers would perform those pieces themselves alongside other writers from the same place on a single night. So we would have five writers all from Birmingham, all the West Midlands, performing in Birmingham and in Belfast, from Belfast. And we've done that over the past four and a bit years. We've done 100 of those pieces now. And so later this year, in conjunction with an installation at the South Bank Centre, we're going to launch an app which allows people to listen to all of those stories.
That's a kind of theatrical
tapestry of the country. You know, in the hope that you'll be on a train to Plymouth one day and decide to take your tour guide tips from the stories of the writers rather than from the travel guide. So and an app just seems like the best platform to hold all of that content. Should be able to listen to it offline as well as online, and we can add extra content in there so that you get this kind of you get this guide to the country, which is really what we've built up over the past 4 or 5 years through the eyes of writers and huge range of writers, from first time writers like Mufara Makabika, who wrote a brilliant play in Nottingham, right up to David Edgar, who wrote a play about growing up in Birmingham and everything in between, really. So it's a really exciting culmination to that project, which will have been 5 years in the making.
Well, also because I imagine that will kind of stretch out beyond the British Isles, because now we've got a population that has come from the four corners of the earth. So those stories presumably will also reflect the multiculturalism.
Absolutely. I mean,
so it's
not
just about these little islands, is
not
it?
Not in the slightest. I mean, Ali Abano, who's wrote a piece about Birmingham, wrote an incredible story about her family's heritage. Zod Winnioni, who's from Leeds, who's also from Zimbabwe, wrote an incredible piece just a few months ago that she performed about what it was like for her to be from Zimbabwe and from Leeds at the same time.
And we're noticing increasingly through our website statistics how many people around the world land on our website. A lot from the States, as you'd expect, and a lot from other English-speaking territories.
Yes.
But actually, it's sort of fascinating to see that people come and visit our website very regularly from all over India, for example, and from the Far East. And so we're aware that we have an opportunity to showcase what we think is one of Britain's greatest cultural exports, which is our writers, our playwrights. And our new plays, I think, so to say, are the best in the world. We know that because America looks longingly at our playwrights and invites them regularly over to Broadway. So we're very, very lucky. We feel like we're sat here and our jobs are...
You're sitting on a kind of powder keg in a way, aren't you? Talent.
A gold mine, you know. We get to work with the people who are the best at their jobs in the world. And so the digitisation of some of our work feels important because it will allow others around the world to have access to what we are lucky enough to be able to see every day here in London and around the UK. So that's a big driver, and it's not just digitization, it's a kind of ideology that we have that new plays are all too often disposable, and that the new plays tend to run for 4 weeks.
That's
and
right.
Very rarely get revived. So at the heart of our modelling at Payne's Plough is a desire to bring new plays back again and again, and I think you see that with Love of Love, for example, that ran for 3 years in various different guises. Wasted, which, as I said, has been touring now for 3 years, has toured to over 70 different places. Lungs, Duncan Macmillan's extraordinary play that
which I really wanted to see
produced. We then produced on BBC Radio 3, which 90,000 people listened to that. We're excited by the opportunities that digitization and initiatives like NT Live hold, because it means that more people will get to see the work that we're most excited about.
Yes, I mean, that does seem to have been an enormous development, doesn't it, in the last kind of 5 to 6 years. So many of my friends, older people, now see so much of their theatre through the cinema and their opera, if they want to, and the ballet and all of that. So, I mean, one asks oneself, is it still important to do international touring? Is there still a need for it? I mean, if art and theatre is now crossing international borders through digitalisation, is it still important to go touring internationally?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, it's brilliant watching a live football match, but that's not going to mean I'm not going to watch them on the TV every now and then, And it's no coincidence that Premier League teams do tours of America and tours of Asia, and get massive turnouts of people coming to watch them. And, I think it really is because streaming things live is great, and it's a brilliant evolution, and it will undoubtedly mean that in the future there are bigger audiences for theatre, but it can't replace it in the way that watching a game on TV is never the same as being in the stadium. So it's really important to tour internationally, and not least because, as James says, we have these incredible writers and these incredible pieces of work. And it's important that we're the ones that are showing them to the world. I just think you can't replicate that live experience.
So what you're trying to do? I mean, looking, how many more years will you be? Do you have an extended contract? I mean, as far as you know,
we're very happy here. So
okay, well I can say that.
Change the locks.
Yeah.
No. So looking, what would be your hopes for the future then? I mean, it seems to me, as I say, just looking through your 40th anniversary plans, is that you're using every platform at your disposal, whether it is collaborations, co-productions, digitalisation, apps, all the rest of it. What would be your core hopes for the next?
I think
10 years, let's say.
I think sort of picking up on that idea of digitalisation. Actually, what theatre does better than anything else is the live experience, and we know that people still crave that. People still really, really want to go into a room with other people and engage with a story. It's something we've been doing as human beings for time immemorial, and actually the evolution of technology, rather than lessening the excitement and joy of that, is, I think, heightening the joy and excitement of that. So feels to me, as is the case in the music industry, where digitization has actually made live music grow. More people are going to gigs now than 5 or 10 years ago.
Is that true?
Absolutely, yeah. More bands are going out on the road, more live music. I think that we will be craving more live theatre in years to come. The kind of putting on silly glasses to go and watch 3D films feels to me like a fad, whereas we in theatre have been doing 3D very successfully for more than two millennia, and will continue to innovate and will continue to do so. I think our hopes are that to continue the work that we've been doing, but our big hopes are about accessibility to the work. Actually, we know we've got world class playwrights writing astounding plays. We feel like our job is to make sure that all over the country people can get to see these incredible plays. So this year, at the heart of our 40th anniversary programme, we're launching Roundabout, which is...
Yes, what is Roundabout?
It's a portable flat-pack theatre. So it flat-packs into a lorry. It pops up any space 10 metres squared, so it could go into a school hall or a sports hall or a warehouse or an old shop, empty shop. It's completely in the round and completely self-contained, so it has a little kind of roof on it, so it's like going into a cake tin. And a complete environment that has a lighting rig and a sound system, all of which plugs into a 13-amp socket. It's in one way, it's the oldest way of touring theatre known to us. It's a band of travelling players, only we're in an Arctic lorry rather than with a horse and cart. An ensemble of actors will travel with the auditorium, a repertory of three plays. And working with local communities, we will obviously invite audience to come see our work, but we'll also invite the local community to use
the theatre. And what are those plays that you're taking?
So we're doing Lungs by Duncan Macmillan.
Yes.
Again, we're doing a play for young people by Dennis Kelly called Our Teacher's a Troll. And a new third play, which we're yet to announce, but which we're very excited about. So that idea is that purely and simply there are certain places in the country we can't tour to because they have no theatres. And actually quite surprisingly large areas of the map that have no existing theatre infrastructure at all. So Roundabout allows us to reach those places, to turn up in towns and villages and even sort of anywhere that doesn't have a theatre, to plonk down Roundabout and to really talk to and engage with the local community about our work, but also their work and what they want to see. So it might be that a local amateur dramatic society produces their work for the week in the Roundabout. It might be that a mums and babies toddler group use the theatre, or the local history society.
So you're very keen on an interactive, aren't you, by the sound of it? I mean, you really, it's not just about you taking a Payne's Plough thing. It's also about hearing and having an exchange.
Absolutely not, and that goes back
on the ground. So that's a very interactive relationship, isn't it?
Completely, and it goes back to the very first thing we talked about at the beginning of the interview about why we set up Nabokov, was that a lot of people find theatres intimidating. They don't want to go, they don't think it's for them. And actually, Roundabout gives us an opportunity to turn up in a community and not only go, come and to our house and see our work, but to go, why don't you use it? Play with it. Actually, theatre is really good fun. Come in and stand on the seats. And
do you know, I think the RSC and a woman called Buzz Goodbody, I think they had a Roundabout theatre. I could be wrong about that.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, the Royal Exchange had one. I mean, there's kind of nothing new about the concept, but what our brilliant design team
sounds wonderful.
Doing is the execution, because they've learned from, you know, the RSC tent was a massive success, but it was really big, it was really expensive. The Royal Exchange tent was also brilliant, but completely reliant on local authority subsidy. So,
and the Globe, I mean, Dominic Dromgoole, he does something similar, doesn't he? He's very keen on this kind of strolling players.
Yeah, they're
taking out
company,
their Shakespeare's.
So no, it is really important. I think, you know, it also comes from frustration that most theatres are set empty 22 hours a day. So I think we didn't want to be guilty of the thing that we accuse other people of, which is, you know, not making the most of these incredible spaces that could be used for so much more. So it would just be crazy for us to be in Barnsley for a week and to only use this beautiful space for 4 hours, you know.
Yes.
So we want it to be full as often as possible.
I think my last question to you is just, would you both like just to tell me what the standout productions for you in the time that you've been here? What are you most proud of?
It's impossible to say. It would be like picking between children. it's impossible to say. I think, I'm most proud of the body of work, which is not a cop-out as much as to go... looking at individual productions is not as exciting as going, in the last 4 years we have produced Simon Stevens and Kate Tempest and Mike Bartlett. The roll call of playwrights is what we're most proud of.
Well, I think, you know, what we wanted to do above everything else was retain what is so essential about Payne's Plough, which is that it's a home for playwrights and that it's a playwright-led company. So, you know, we have playwrights working with us at every level of the organisation, from the board to the senior management team to writers in residence.
It's words-led, isn't it?
It really is words-led.
Writers-led.
Yeah, it is writers-led, and we don't tell writers what to write, we don't commission, you know, we commission to production, we say to a writer, we love your work, we want you to write us a play, you write whatever you want to write, and off we go. So, I think that feels really important, and in terms of, you know, looking back and trying to pick an achievement, I think having honoured that, you know, as the eighth artistic director of such an incredible company, I think is really important to us, because that's why the company exists. It's why it exists long after we're here, and it's really important that that's retained.
And is there anything desperately that you still want to achieve?
We've got to build our own theatre this year. I think you know, we have done a huge amount of work over the past 4 years, and I think as you catch us in the middle of our NPO application, I think we're thinking a lot about what the next three to five to ten years will bring. I think it's really important for us that Roundabout's a success. It embodies and encapsulates so much of what the company is and why it matters, and so that'll be a real focus for us. And And just continuing to bring writers through our different scales of production, so writers who are working on our kind of small scale work now, getting their work onto big main stages, and just continuing to collaborate with more and more interesting people. You know, we've worked with some all these brilliant theatres across the country, but also Manchester International Festival, Latitude Festival. You know, festivals have been a really interesting thing for us. Now we're working with BBC and kind of different platforms there, and just finding more and more exciting collaborators to work with, and how they'll bring their own challenges to the writers and creating platforms for writers' work.
James, anything else from your perspective?
All of the above. I think as George says, it's, for us, it's about identifying those great writers and showcasing them to as wide an audience as possible. And so there's always going to be work for us to do.
Well, long may Payne's plough live, and here's to the next 40 years, and thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you,
Carol.
Thank you.